Hello, my name is Mahendra Gupte. Let's look at Chapter 3, Laws of Agency. What is agency? When one party delegates authority to another to act independently on their behalf, this relationship is called an agency. Many a times we have heard, especially if you have any of you have searched for a house, you would look for a broker or an agent. An agent who will show you the houses on behalf of the house owner. Now, this is a very simple example of an agent and how the agency process works. But this relationship between the owner and that person who is actually showing you the houses is called an agency. Who is an agent? As per the section of the Indian Contract Act, an agent is a person appointed to act or represent another in dealings with third parties. So, this agent is so called who has been officially appointed by the owner of the house to act in on his behalf and talk about the dealings with the third party, that is with you. Now, he may tell you what is the rent and how much it can be best. But if you need something much more than that, let's say you are looking, the offer currently from the agent is for just the flat. You are also looking for a parking space. Now this parking space is available, but it is not being offered to you. So when you need that, you may have to tell the agent that I need parking space also. The agent, if he has been authorized to say yes, he would say yes, that it would be available. Maybe at the same cost of the rent, or it could be available at a slightly higher amount. But if he is not authorized, then he would tell you that he will check with the owner and come back. Now this means that he has been appointed to act or represent to himself. The owner has appointed him to act on his behalf in the dealings, but with certain conditions. Who is a principal? The owner of the house is the principal. The person who delegates authority or is represented by the agent is called the principal. Who can appoint an agent? As per the section 183, any person of majority age with a sound mind can appoint an agent. Now, why are these two conditions required? One is, it is considered as per all of us humans that a majority age, that means after a person is an adult, he would be of sound mind and he would be able to think logically. A sound mind is where you are not under the influence of certain medication or certain physical or medical conditions under which you cannot be appointed as an agent. So an agent has to be free of all these things and of a sound mind. Who may be an agent? Anyone who is of majority age and sound mind can act as an agent. We already understood this. Now, how does it work? A general agent has broad authority to conduct transactions for the principal, usually for business, but sometimes personal matters, especially granted through a general power of attorney. Now, this means that the owner or the principal signs a general power of attorney in the name of the agent and appoints him to do certain tasks, and he is made responsible for the duties that he is expected to do. All this is defined in the general power of attorney. As you see in the diagram, the principal appoints an agent, and the agent then deals with the third party as if he is the principal. But let us remember here, no contracts or no legal documents can be signed by the agent on behalf of the principal. The principal's signature is required for compliance. As per law, the agent is only a representative, official representative of the principal. Special agent. A special agent is authorized to act only for specific transactions or instances. Let's say, for example, you appoint an agent to get you customers for renting out your space or your apartment. Now, beyond that, the agent has no other authority. So he can neither take a deposit, he can neither take an advance, nor can he actually take and make any transactions besides what you have authorized him to act for. That means get customers and finalize, make them agree to the rent that you have specified. Agency coupled with an interest. Let's look at the different types of agents. Agency coupled with an interest. An agent has this status when their compensation relies on retaining authority and they hold a property interest in the business. Subagent. An agent may appoint subagents to perform duties with or without the principal's approval. Let's look at agency coupled with an interest. What does this mean? What we are trying to say here is, let's say that you have an apartment and you tell the agent that you get me a customer or a person who is ready to rent out my apartment for an X amount. And if you get somebody to do anything beyond X, I will give you a certain share of that rent on a monthly basis. Now this means that he has an interest in the business, which means that this agent, the agreement will that you sign with this kind of an agreement with the agent will have this condition mentioned on the agreement or the contract that you sign. Subagent, now an agent may need, he is restricted, let's say because of age or because of certain restrictions or constraints that he has physically, he cannot move around the entire area. And let's say we are not looking at an agent particularly to rent out a house, but for you to sell something maybe. Now in this situation, what happens? He may appoint sub-agents to perform the duties either with your knowledge or without your knowledge. With your knowledge means that he would also offer them certain percentage of income or a sales commission on the basis of sales that or leads that they bring in, which of course materialize into sales. Or he may not inform you at all and he only ensures and tells you that business will grow by 10% or 20% or whatever is your requirement. Servant, an employee whose work is controlled by the employer as defined in section 2 is called a servant, which means any person whom you employ and control all the activities that he does for that period of time that he is employed to you is termed as per law as a servant. Independent contractor, a person hired to perform tasks autonomously without the hiring party's control over their physical conduct. What happens when we have some work to be done in our houses, some small repair work? You hire a contractor and then you don't really control as to how he is doing the job. You only give him what is your requirement, he gives you an estimate, you agree to it. There is a sort of an implied contract between the two of you and the work starts and is completed. So now whether he uses the best of cement, whether he uses the worst of it, or whether he uses or he compromises on the quality of other items is not really under your control. Agency and relationships. Let's understand the different relationships and their definitions. Agency. Agency describes the relationship in which one person is appointed to act as the representative of another. We saw this right in the beginning. What is that relationship between two people, the principal and the agent? It is called an agency. The rules, the law of agency is based on two principles. The person acting through an agency is considered to be acting themselves. The acts of one person can be attributed to another with certain exceptions. What it means, let's understand the legal language. The person acting through an agency is considered to be acting themselves. That means whatever acts or activities that he performs is all done by himself. The acts of one person can be attributed to another with certain exceptions, which means that what the agent acts for could be attributed to the principal. That means as told by the principal with certain exceptions. The Act, the Indian Contract Act 1872, is which governs the entire relationship, and in Chapter 10, forming it through express or implied agreements. Contents of agency contract. The principal appoints the agent verbally or in writing, specifying terms and sub-agent use. The principal grants the agent authority to act on their behalf. The principal is accountable for the agent's actions. Okay, we understood that the principal appoints the agent. Now, this appointment could be verbally or in writing. This is in writing, especially where there is a financial transaction that is involved. That means if you are agreeing to a certain percentage of the rent to be paid to the agent as his commission, or whatever is the other amount that you decide, it would be better, or it is recommended to put it in writing. And you can also specify the terms and conditions, which means that if the agent brings in a person as a person to rent out the house, but if it doesn't work out, then he will continue to do so till the time the flat is rented. You can also put in conditions whether he can use sub-agents or he cannot use sub-agents. Now, if you put in the condition that sub-agents are not acceptable to you, and if he does appoint a sub-agent, he will have to pay that sub-agent whatever is the agreed commission from his earnings, not that you are obliged to pay that sub-agent anything. The principal grants the agent authority to act on their behalf. So, when you sign this contract, agency contract or the agreement, remember one thing: you are permitting him or giving him the authority to act on your behalf. Which means, if there is some minor work that is to be done in the house, before it can be actually occupied, the agent will agree to that requirement of the tenant, and you will have to do the expense to get that repair work done. The principal is accountable for the agent's action. Now, if the agent says that he agrees to painting the house before it is occupied, now whether you have agreed to it earlier or not, if the agent had specified him in the authority clause that he was authorized to agree or disagree to painting or whatever minor repairs, you will have to comply to that requirement as per the contract. Establishing the relationship. The principal is bound by the agent's actions with third parties within their authority. So, what we are saying here is, it is further specifying and saying that the principal is bound by the agent's actions with third parties within their authority. Let's get out of this example of the flat owner and rentals and things like that. Let's say that you have appointed an agent to start with for your business, for the sales of your business, and he goes and sells it to third parties. Now, if he is guaranteeing them certain warranties or some other service requirements for your product, then you need to stand by it. Effective communication and principal approval for actions beyond limits are essential, which means that, let's say, if the standard warranty is 1 year, but in some exceptional cases you are ready to offer more than 1 year, then the principal, you need to specify it to the agent as to what it means and what are the terms and conditions. There has to be an effective communication to this effect, and terms and conditions have to be completely specified for the agent to offer them to the third party. Creating the agency. An agency relationship is formed either by agreement expressly, by operation of law constructively or impliedly. Let's understand this a little more. By agreement expressly, that means everything is expressed in writing or verbal, most of the time written, and both parties agree to the terms and conditions. By operation of law, constructively or impliedly, which means that certain rules, regulations. Now, when he, just take this example of the sales that is taking place of the product. When he sells, it is implied that he will collect cash for the sale that he is making. Now this will be specified, but also by law it would mean that otherwise the transaction would not hold. What is a business transaction? A business transaction is where sale of goods takes place or sale of merchandise takes place, and there is an exchange of a financial aspect to it for in exchange for the product being handed over. Agency created by agreement. Most agencies arise from contracts requiring consideration, a written agreement and a contractual capacity. Here, requiring consideration, consideration in legal terms is nothing else but the financial part. A written agreement, of course, that would be the best way to go in for an agency agreement, and a contractual capacity, which means that you have a contract where you have conditions specified and the expected consideration against those conditions. Consideration agencies can be formed by consent without being contractual. An agent can act without consideration. There would be hardly anybody that I know of who is ready to work free for you. Either he would be an NGO or he would be doing that as part of his social service or his own personal CSR. Now this, what I am trying to only say is that it would be very, very difficult to get somebody to agree to work without a compensation. Formalities. Oral agency contracts are typically binding but must be in writing in certain cases, such as if the agency lasts over 1 year, which means that if you are using an agent for the sales of your product and you would like to continue him for the next year, then it would be preferable to have a contract, an agency contract in place in writing. Agreements to sell real estate or pay broker commissions in many states. Many states have specified that a broker or a real estate agent has to have a contract which is registered. Only then are any disputes looked at by court. Contracts between companies and sales representative in some states. Some states even specify that if you are not actual employees of the company, but you are being appointed as sales representatives or sales agents, or even if you are employees, but you are required to represent those companies and especially get into or enter big corporates or government agencies or semi-government companies or agencies, you require a contract which shows you to be a legal person. Capacity. A contract is void if either party lacks capacity, focusing on the principal. If the principal is a minor or lacks capacity, that means he is not of sound mind or he is not of the adult age, the contract is voided, regardless of the agent's competence. If it is a minor, he cannot appoint an agent in spite of the fact that the agent is the best person in that locality or has a very big reputation. Agency created by operation of law. Agencies can also arise implicitly or apparently beyond contractual agreements. What this means is that you have a friend of yours whom you talk to and just mention to him that you are looking for somebody to do sales for your or represent your product in certain areas. And he comes up and says that, okay, I have an agreement, I have an arrangement with somebody, but let's try it out on a no consideration basis. Along with his own products, he offers even your products. Now this would be beyond contractual agreements. Implied agency. An agency may be recognized without an agreement if the principal allows someone's agent-like behavior. An agency may be recognized without an agreement if the principal allows someone's agent-like behavior. What does this mean? This means that you have an unofficial agent who is working as an agent for you. In this case, when the agency may be recognized, which means that the relationship is recognized between you and the person as an agent and principal, but without any agreement. Let's say a friend of yours offers or knows somebody who wants to rent out a place and he refers them to you. He has acted as your agent, but there is no consideration between the two of you or an official agreement. Apparent agency, a principal can ratify an unauthorized act, creating an urgent agency relationship as if it had been authorized. So let's say this friend of yours who has helped you the first time to get a tenant, and this tenant leaves again after 2 months or 3 months due to whatever, his change of job or whatever other reason. And then again you mention to this friend of yours that my flat is vacant and I'm looking for somebody to rent it out. And he does it again for you. Now in this situation, would you like to continue to be under obligation of him, or you would like to create an agency relationship with him officially and then make it an authorized act? So although he is working on your behalf in an unauthorized way, he is helping you out, and that is why you can have an agency even covering the first tenant and his rental included by ratifying the entire act right from the day before the first tenant came in. Implied agency. An agency may be recognized without an agreement if the principal allows someone's agent-like behavior. We looked at that example where a friend of yours helps you out in getting a tenant for your flat which needs to be rented. Now let's say this tenant leaves, and then this friend again helps you for the second time to get you a tenant. Now what is the entire process? He is acting like your agent, or his behavior is like an agent, but without an agreement. So the principal, that is you, can allow it to be an agency if you would like it to happen. Apparent agency, a principal can ratify an unauthorized act, creating an agency relationship as if it had been authorized. The same example, we can always say that whatever he did for you for getting the first tenant can also be ratified as an authorized act, as if there was an agency that existed. Ratification is not allowed when a person has defective knowledge of the facts. An act would harm the person or violate their rights if authorized. Ratification is the adoption of an activity, making the actor the agent and the person who adopts the activity the principal. Once we understand this definition of ratification as the adoption of an activity, of making the actor the agent and the person who adopts the activity the principal, we can then come back to the first two points and understand that a person who has defective knowledge of the facts cannot be ratified. An act would harm the person or violate their rights if authorized. So if this agent or this actor does something that could harm the principal or even harm his rights, then it cannot be ratified. Types of ratification: express ratification, clear wording or expression. So there is a clear understanding here that whatever is the act that is being done is being ratified in writing. Implied ratification, no explicit expression. Let's say you don't have an agency agreement that gets into place with your friend, but you pay him the commission that you feel is right for his services. Essentials of valid ratification. The ratifying person must be in existing at the time of the activity, which means both the principal and the agent need to be in existence at the time of the activity, not the time of the ratification. Have the capacity to contract. They should be of adult age and of sound mind. Ratify within a reasonable time. Ensure the activity is lawful and avoid breaches of contract. What we are saying here is ratify within a reasonable time. That means you try and ratify the action in reasonable time, say in a few months' time at the most, but it should not be after a few years. Ensure the activity is lawful. Before you look at ratifying the activity, understand and make it clear to yourself as well as to the other party that the activity is lawful. Avoid breaches of contract. Had there been a contract in place, would this activity be a breach of that contract? This is the question you need to ask before you think of ratifying the activity. Conditions for ratification governed by the contract and relevant laws. So ratification, while it can be done by you as the principal, you will have to understand what are the rules and laws that govern ratification. Rights and duties of principal and agent. Defined rights and duties ensure lawful and smooth operations in the partnership. So this is necessary to understand what all is expected of the principal towards the agent and what is expected of the agent towards the principal, especially in the framework of the law and the agency agreement that they are likely to sign. Agents, they need to be compensated, so they should get a compensation, a fee, commission, salary, or as specified. So there are options of whatever you call it and how you pay it or on what basis you calculate the payment, but it has to be mentioned as under the heading of compensation for the agents. Reimbursement, expenses for duties performed. A reimbursement is usually the expenses that the agent may incur for doing the activity. For example, the tenant may ask him to be picked up from his present place of residence to take him to the apartment and show him the apartment. Now, if there is a transportation involved and the agent incurs that expense, he needs to be reimbursed because he is doing that duty for you. Indemnification, protection against losses. Let's say if the tenant pays him the advance, but the advance doesn't materialize in the bank, or if there is some other loss in terms of the transportation not working out or an extra expense that the transporter asks. Now, these expenses need to be indemnified with respect to the agent. That means he needs to be protected against such losses. Information, access to necessary information. He may need some additional information. For example, there are some people, some tenants who would want to know that who is the owner, what is his family background, what is his business. So this information, whatever is required for his business or for his activity, he needs to have access to, or rather you need to give him this information. Termination. Agency can be terminated by as per the agreement or upon breach. So this is something where the agency agreement is being terminated by the agent for maybe you not paying his compensation, not reimbursement of his fees, or anything else that becomes a condition that is already a condition in the agreement and you are looking or you have breached it. Agents also have rights against principals and third parties. Let's understand those. Loyalty. Prioritize the principal's interests, avoiding self-dealing, which means that if the agent has been appointed by you and the agent or himself also has a property which he wants to lease out, he should not be prioritizing his property to the tenant or the prospective tenant rather than your property for which you have appointed him. Care. Exercise reasonable care and skill. So do not let any misinformation be shared by the agent to the tenants or to any other third party. He should exercise reasonable care and be skillful in avoiding certain questions which may not be the right ones to be asked or which may not need answers at that point of time. Obedience. Follow lawful instructions. If the agent has been given certain instructions of not allowing just bachelors, let's say for example, bachelors are not to be rented out the place because you would like to maintain a family background and a family atmosphere in your building and in your apartment also, then he should follow those instructions as laid down by you. Accountability. Keep accurate records and be accountable. If you have agreed in the agreement that you will reimburse his expenses on a monthly basis, then he needs to keep correct records of all expenses that he incurs during the month and for which he is seeking reimbursement. Confidentiality. maintain confidentiality of the principal's information. Whatever information you have given him and you have permitted him to share, only that information needs to be shared. All the balance information, all that he may have gathered from your relationship with him over a period of time, needs to be protected and kept in confidence. Principals repudiate contract, section 215. Principal can cancel if the agent acts without consent. You have posed a condition saying that you will not rent out the place to any bachelors or just people who are single. Now, if he goes ahead and tries to get an agreement made and try to get such tenants, you can cancel the agency agreement with this agent and also cancel the agreement that is being made for the tenancy. Claim benefit. Principal can claim benefits from agent's independent transactions. If the agent has already taken certain advance but has not informed you, and at the time of agreement the tenant informs you about the advance that has been paid, now the agent refuses that there has been any advance that he has taken, you can claim benefits from his independent transaction. Ratify or disown acts. Principal can approve or reject unauthorized agent actions. If that advance was taken illegally from you, from the tenant, in the form of cash, without a receipt, without any records, which becomes an unauthorized act on the part of the agent, you can approve or reject that unauthorized act based on whatever happens further. Revoke authority. Principal can revoke agent's authority with notice. You may have permitted him to rent out your place, your apartment, but you get a tenant or you change your mind about renting out your place, you can revoke the agent's authority with, of course, a notice. Claim loss or profit. Principal can claim compensation for losses or profits due to agent's negligence or misconduct. Usually, wrong actions, that is negligence or misconduct, would always come up with a loss. But in a rare case, if there is a profit, then you can claim compensation for that loss or share that profit with the agent. Both these sections are covered under section 211, and both the cases are covered under sections 211 and 212. Demand accounts. Principal can demand proper accounts from the agent. Let's say you are about to reimburse him the amount and there is no record. He has not yet shared with you the account details as to how that figure was arrived at. You can definitely demand that statement from him and then make the reimbursement. Refuse remuneration. Principal can deny payment to an agent guilty of misconduct. If, let us say, he has a case of misconduct, in this case that we are talking about, agent trying to rent out a place of yours, an apartment of yours, is where he rents it out on a temporary basis for, let's say, 2 days or 3 days to a group of people for a party or for some enjoyment. Now, this is misconduct and misuse of your property, where you can deny him payment as well as maybe revoke the agency agreement itself. What are the duties of the principal? The principal pay agents as agreed or risk contract breach. So if compensation is not paid on time or as agreed in the agreement, the agent can definitely revoke the agency on the basis of a breach of contract. Good faith. Deal fairly and in good faith with the agents. The agents should be recognized as human beings again, as those who have been employed by you to work for you on your behalf. Now, you have given him certain authority. So you need to be fair and also hold him responsible for his acts, but in good faith. Cooperation. Provide agents with needed resources and information. Let us say, for example, the keys to your apartment have been lost or they have been misplaced, and now you need to make a new set of keys or change the locks. Now, you may change the locks at a later point of time, but you may need to make a new set of keys. So you need to give him that information and provide them proper support to work fairly and cooperate with the agent. Honesty must be clear and transparent in instructions and expectations. When you lay down some instructions or conditions which are not part of the agreement, but as verbal instructions or some expectations that you have voiced with the agent, you need to be clear and transparent. There should not be any ambiguity in what you want so that the agent works exactly as per those instructions. Delegation. Agents generally cannot delegate their duties unless permitted by specific exceptions, which means that if they are going to appoint sub-agents, and if you have put a condition in the agreement that sub-agents will be appointed only with your permission, they will be able to do so only after they have informed you. Principal's liability. Principal is bound by agent's contracts as if made personally, which means that in case if an agent goes ahead and finalizes the tenant, at the same time he makes an agreement or a contract for the tenancy, then if the contract is in your favor or is as required, conforming to and compliance to law, you can sign that as if it was made by you personally. No liability. Principal isn't liable for agent's unauthorized acts, fraud or misrepresentation, which means that if he paints a bigger picture or if he is trying to extract extra rentals, then you can always understand that you are not liable. There is no liability on you because it is an unauthorized act. Of course, it is not part, definitely it will not be part of the tenancy agreement. Principal is liable for notices received by the agent. Let us say if he has violated certain rules, regulations of the society, then and the society serves a notice, that notice will be to you finally, although it is being served for an act by the agent.